Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this blessing. We thank you this evening, Lord, for the increase you have blessed us to have with the baptism we've had earlier today. As a result of these nationwide gospel meeting call lessons that have been delivered by gospel preachers of the Lord's Church, Lord, we're thankful for the soul that was baptized on today. We're also thankful, Lord, to our new callers from the state of Nebraska. We are glad to have them, Lord, and glad to see that word has spread that the gospel is being preached. We're also thankful, Lord, for the encouraging emails and messages we have received from fellow members of the Lord's Church who are listening and are also sharing the information and the flyers about to others and to others who they desire to be saved. Lord, we know that your desire is greater than ours. You sent your Son to this earth to die on our behalf, and he shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary. Lord, the grave was empty, and you gave us proof because you raised him up. We pray, Lord, that this evening, Brother Daniel Freeman, convey those basic truths, those tenets of the gospel that are necessary for someone to obey before it is eternally and lasting too late. Lord, we ask that you be with every listener this evening, that they follow along with their Bibles, to see that the things that are proclaimed are actually from your inspired word. Lord, we ask us this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder, and I am very blessed to have you as my co-host, and we appreciate your professionalism and also your support to what we're doing. To those who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I serve as a minister of the Church of Christ in Holland Heights, located at 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. Those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. You're the VIP of our audience. And we want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible has absolute authority. God has given us his word, and the final answer is written in the scripture as to what one must do in order to save their precious soul. We know tonight you could be doing a lot of other things on a Friday night, but you've called in tonight. So I ask you tonight to open your ears to hear God's word, open it to hear the truth, and receive it with meekness, for it's able to save your soul. Our speaker tonight, in the person of Brother Daniel Freeman, Brother Daniel Freeman serves at the McCook Church of Christ in McCook, Nebraska. He's been preaching for 30 years currently in the Loving Congregation there at McCook, and he also has served on many other churches as well in Oklahoma, Nevada, Texas, and Colorado, and he's such a great man of God. And tonight, he's going to bring us a subject. He's going to talk about the topic of the saving power of the blood. I encourage you to open your Bible, take notes, and pay attention to what he's saying tonight. Brother Freeman, will you tell us the truth about the saving power of the blood? Brother Freeman.
Amen. Thank you so much, and good evening. It is such a pleasure and such a privilege to be here with you this evening and to share a portion of God's word and a message about the saving power of the blood of Jesus. The title of this lesson is The Truth About the Saving Power of the Blood. The scripture of our focus for this lesson is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. As the scriptures say, there cannot be any forgiveness of sins from God without the shedding of blood. Listen, please, to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The inspired Hebrew writer, he admonishes us with the truth that only through shed blood is there the saving power that brings about the forgiveness of sins. Also, the saving power of the blood it's not a new concept taught only in what we refer to as the New Testament of the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament scriptures are filled with what is called antitypes, and these types, they're just shadows that are pattern pointing to greater heavenly realities of what was to be revealed later by God throughout history. And one such antitype that is specific to our subject this evening is found in Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. I would ask you to please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. And we'll see the imagery of the blood of the covenant found there. It says, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with the same voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and he threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. You know, in this passage from Exodus, the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel is confirmed. But please notice this only takes place through the shedding of blood. Moses, he comes to the people, he tells them all the words that the Lord spoke and all of his just decrees. And listen to the response of the people again. All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They commit themselves to the covenant. And God, he decrees the terms of the covenant, and the people agree. Moses, he then writes down all the words of the Lord and builds an altar at the foot of the mountain with the 12 pillars as seen in verse 4. The 12 pillars, they represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and the altar, it represents the presence of God. Burnt offerings and peace offerings are made to God. Now, notice carefully what happens next in verse 8. Moses, he takes half of the blood and he throws it against the altar. And then he takes the book of the covenant, reads it in the hearing of the people. The people, after hearing the terms of the covenant, again respond, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. They declare their devoted compliance to the covenant. And then finally, look at what happens there in verse 8. Moses, he takes the blood and he throws it on the people. And listen to what he says. Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. This is the sealing of the covenant between God and the people. First, the blood is thrown on the altar, and then the law is read. And then finally, the blood is thrown on the people. This is the blood of the covenant. Blood is the basis for their relationship with God. God is teaching the people that the way to have a relationship with God is through blood. The blood sprinkled on the people indicates that they are now in a covenant relationship with God. They were now his people, and they are marked as belonging to God. The New Testament implications of this imagery is staggering, showing us that this antitype describes the role of Jesus and how one can enter into a new and final covenant through the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens here at Sinai is repeated in the New Testament. Rather than requiring the blood of animals from burnt offerings and peace offerings, there was blood needed from somewhere else. And under the new covenant, the blood of animals, they would not be sufficient. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, he would offer his own blood. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, brethren, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent that made, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing the eternal redemption. You know, this is a phrase that is found throughout the New Testament that is so easy to pass over. By his blood. You know, over and over again, the scriptures, they describe that we have been saved by the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, it confirms that this truth as well. It says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And then Paul, again, he says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 9. God, he desired to enter into a covenant with us. And Jesus, he comes into the world and declares the laws and the ways of God. And then Jesus sacrifices himself through his blood, and so that we are able to enter into a covenant relationship with the Lord. But this is not the end of the imagery. The scriptures, they also picture us as those people who have been sprinkled with blood. Listen to how the Apostle Paul begins his first letter. The Apostle Peter begins his first letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with his blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Peter, he says to those who are elect exiles. And what are the elect exiles chosen for? Well, they are chosen for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. And this is a direct reference to the event at Sinai that we have already looked at earlier in Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. Do you see the parallel? Once the book of the covenant was read, the people declared that they would be obedient to God's commandment. And then the blood was thrown on the people. And those today who are saved by the power of the blood, they have been sealed just as those people were sealed. Those who are without God, those who do not know God, they can be brought into a relationship with God, belonging to him as his people and as his own children. Isaiah, he pictured that this would happen with the suffering servant. Please listen to how the suffering servant song begins in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at your appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. And so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which was not, that had not been told to them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. How will the servant sprinkle many nations? Well, it's when he is lifted up and exalted, and when the nations, then they could be sprinkled. Jesus said that he would be glorified when he was lifted up on the cross. And we see this in John chapter 12, verse 23, and also John chapter 7, verse 39. And through the blood of Christ, which was offered on the cross, we then can have the hope and the expectation of being sprinkled with the powerful saving blood. When we choose obedience to God's will through our faith in his promises, then we can enter a relationship with God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. We come to Christ declaring that we will do what he has called for us to do. When we repent and we confess our sins, we are saying that we will stop obeying our own desires and we will do what God has called us to do. Jesus, he has overcome spiritual death and darkness that holds men's souls captive in this world. And Jesus is calling with the good news of the gospel because there are souls that will hear and they will listen to his voice. And Isaiah, he also prophesied that this would be the case in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 8. Isaiah, he says there, "The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, he declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." The Hebrew writer, he admonishes the Christians in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. He says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You know, in this passage, we see the allusion of Moses sanctifying the tabernacle with sprinkled blood, but how does the washing of our bodies with pure water enter into play? Well, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul, he explains. Paul says, "Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should be raised to the newness of life. Baptism, it symbolizes Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. And the scriptures clearly teach that it is through baptism that we come into contact with the cleansing blood of Jesus. And this is why Ananias told Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We in the churches of Christ, we know very well that it's not the water that cleanses, it's the blood of Christ that we come into contact with in that watery grave of baptism where cleansing comes. And like the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the flesh, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The saving power is not in the water, but it is in the blood. And the way to contact the blood is through humble obedience to our Lord and being baptized in water, according to the resurrected Lord's direct commandment found in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus, he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The Bible, it expressly teaches us that Christ shed blood, it purchased the church. You know, we do not find many different churches in the Bible. We find one church belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter Christ through baptism, as found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. Paul, he says there, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ that have put on Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We read and see clearly that on the day of Pentecost, what the inspired writer Luke says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and also Acts chapter 2, verse 47. He said, then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then in verse 47, just six verses down, he says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Jesus, he laid down his life and gave his life's blood for the whole world. And that is not to say that all will be saved. God, he calls all to be saved, and he certainly has made salvation possible to all. But unfortunately, not everyone will choose to accept God's gift of salvation. Those that will be saved are those that will choose to believe and obey the will of God the Father. Those that will be saved are those who choose life. And those who will be saved are those that hear the truth of salvation and they believe the words of God. those that believe the message of salvation and obey God's revealed will, they are the ones who will be saved. Those who hear and those who believe, they will obey the salvation covenant that God wants to have with each and every person. And they will have an everlasting relationship made by his powerful saving blood. They will have a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Again, as the scriptures say, there cannot be any forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Listen again as we come to the close of this message to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Only the saving power of Jesus' blood can make one new and whole again. The blood of Jesus is so powerful to those that believe and obey him that his blood continually cleanses his own when they continue to walk in him and with him. And with the ultimate blessing of continued forgiveness of sins that is ours, then the only question that remains is, are you ready? Are you willing to believe God's message of salvation and obey his voice and be cleansed by the powerful saving blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God? It is my sincere hope and my sincere prayer that you will consider all that you have learned tonight from the Word of God and be of good courage and prove your faith and love for God. And if you believe the Bible, then obey the gospel call. Repent of your sins and forsake them. And then obey Christ's command and be baptized into his death and be cleansed. Please do it tonight. I thank you so much for listening, and I pray that the Word of God will take place in your heart. Goodbye.
Thank you, Brother Freeman. You have done exactly what I wanted you to do, and to point out the saving power of the blood of Jesus. It is my belief that many today do not realize that God gave his only Son, and his Son had to shed blood to save our souls. And I think that if all of us would think of our only child having to be brutally beaten on a cross while he was scourged and then executed on a cross to shed the medication that would save COVID-19, there would be the vaccine for COVID-19, all of us would understand that it was our child that gave the saving power of that blood. And that's what we want to emphasize. Thank you, Brother Freeman. And to the visitors who are on the call tonight, it's in baptism, like young lady did today in her life. She was buried with Christ in baptism. She stepped in that water by faith, and in that water she believed without ever seeing it, because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, is that there was blood in that water. If you're on the call tonight, understand this, that you got to be washed in the saving power of the blood of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb of God. And when you're washed in that blood, every sin you ever committed will be forgiven. And then the Lord would add you to the church, which that blood purchased, which is his bride, his wife, the church of Christ. Be baptized. Don't put it off. You don't have to study more. You say, well, I need to study more. No, you need to believe it. Here's one thing people say. I need to study more. If Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, it's not a matter of studying anymore. It's a matter of, do you believe that there is some blood in that water? If you believe it, step in there. If you don't believe it, Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He to come to God must believe. So tonight, if you're on the call and you want to be baptized like the young lady did today, you get in touch with us. We'll make sure We get you to the preacher. We get you to congregation. No matter where you are in the United States or even if you're listening globally, we will make sure we get someone to you to baptize you so that you can contact that blood. It's the saving power of the blood that will save your souls, my friends. Next week, we're going to continue with this blood discussion. Brother Gene Rowe will talk about the blood of the New Testament. Many people don't know that we must continue to drink that blood every week on the first day of the week. That's the Lord's Supper. There's that blood is it's a new agreement, a new covenant that God has given us that we must drink that blood. If you're not drinking that blood every week, you don't understand the blood of the New Testament. But Gene Rowe will talk to us. He's from Texas City. His brother will come on from Paducah, Kentucky, preaching from the same book called the Bible. He's going to talk about walking in the light for continuous cleansing. The way we stay saved is to stay in the power. Stay in the power of the blood. Stay in there. It's a continuous daily cleaning and cleansing. And then on Wednesday, Brother Andy Irwin from Fayetteville, Tennessee, he'll talk about the blood of the cross. Many people don't understand the power of the cross and what Jesus done on that cross, the blood that was shed. Then Brother Gary Collin from Colleyville, Tennessee, he want to talk to us about, you know, what is the truth about what it means to be lost? Do you understand what it means to be lost? There are some people who are going to be, on the day of judgment, they're going to be shocked thinking they're saved and they're lost. He's going to talk to us about that. And then we're going to close it out next week with Brother Alan Webster from Jacksonville, Alabama. You know, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then he says something else in verse 16, Mark 16, 15, 16. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. He's going to talk about that. He that believeth not. Who is that person that's going to be damned? He's going to talk to that. Tonight, I want to thank you for calling. Listen carefully. We had so many positive emails from members of the Church of Christ today. I got so many positive emails. I want to say thank you to the brothers and sisters in Christ who have supported our call, who are sending us the message about you're sharing your, this is the way to share with your friends, family, loved ones, and you're doing that and you're sharing it with us, and we're getting the result. It almost seems like it's just catching on because people are calling in thousands, asking for flyers. Now, if you want more flyers, you want more information, go to our website, HighlandHeightsCoc.net. That's HighlandHeightsCoc.net. You can email me there. I got a lot of your emails from there today. You can download the flyers. You can go to the sermon section of the website. See Nationwide Gospel Call Meeting. All the sermons are there. All the flyers are there. And we want to thank our staff, those who are helping us with the flyers and with the website and all the things that are going on. It takes a lot of work to get this done. But we thank you for your support. The emails I got today were so encouraging to me. I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ who see the urgency of what we're doing and the time we're doing it, to mention the fact that we are being diverse in our speakers. We're saying to the world that the Church of Christ is made up of believers, not skin. It's not the sin of the world. That's not the problem of the world. It's sin, my friend. And we're presenting to you all speakers who believe in the absolute authority of the Bible. Email us. Continue to send us this encouraging email. You can go to nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com and you can email us there. I share that with all of my friends, family. So share it with our co-hosts and my sister minister at Holland Heights. We are reading your email. We will do everything we can to help you. The second thing I want to say, members of the Church of Christ, consider this. We were known as Bible believers. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Bible-toting, Bible-quoting. That's what we were known for in the Churches of Christ. But I want to let you know that I got speakers who still believe that way. Some of our congregations have left the basics of what we believe. Let this restore you, and I encourage you, leave those who do not believe like this anymore. Your souls are at stake. So this is Restoration, Revival, Edification. And thank you so very much for calling. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for Brother Freeman and men like him and all the other brothers who've agreed to give 30 minutes of their time to allow us to take them into the homes of our friends and our families and our loved ones for 30 minutes to sit down at their table, to teach them from your holy book that we believe is absolutely 100% accurate. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide these men into all truth. And thank you for our listening audience. Thank you for our visitors. We want them, Father, we pray that they have received with meekness your engrafted word. And knowing that we're hosting this call because we want to speak the truth in love. Why? Because we want to be saved, Father. And we want them to be saved. And we want to just do what you've told us to do without addition or subtraction from your word. Thank you for loving us enough to commend your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, you will allow and witness the death of your child executed on Calvary with nails in his hands and his feet on the cross. And from him came the precious blood that will save our souls. Thank you. We love you for that. And we pray for our friends and our family that they too will love you and they will respond by obedience to your will, by being baptized and added to the true church that you can read about in your word, and that is the Church of Christ. And if that's not something, Father, we will apologize for it. We will continue to uphold your will, and that is what you told us in your word. This is your beloved Son, in whom you will well please. Hear ye him. That we will do, my Father. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, to our visitors and to all those who are listening tonight, we thank you for calling in. It is my prayer that tonight your head will not lay on the dying pillow if you have not been baptized. If you have not contacted that saving blood, I pray you don't die like it. But you know some will die tonight. They'll lay their head on the dying. But those of us who've been washed in the blood and believe that we've been saved, we can lay down in peace. How will you lay down tonight? Let me say goodnight to you. I pray you have a peaceful rest only if you've been saved and you've been washed in that blood. To each of you, I say good night, but don't forget what you heard. Thank you for calling.